think this. I think God is always speaking. And God is always speaking to us through the world around us and through the lives of people around us. And if we don't hear God speaking, it's either because we're too busy talking. Or because we're just not thinking in the right direction. Sooner or later, we're all Peter, and God's saying, you're not setting your mind on divine things, but on human things. If we just listen, we can hear God speaking. In the sunrise, and all that's around us, and all that who is around us. For example, and I keep talking about it, but it's a neat thing. There's this dance class happening around here Saturday afternoons. And those
James, Pete Peters, the teacher kids, how to do
duck dance. And
big. And it's a neat thing. That's why I keep talking about it. And some of you maybe have thought, oh, I'd like to go to that, but I'm
busy,
or I'm too tired, or I'm not the
chin, so I can't go.
So. But anyway, I was over here yesterday because I had to meet some people, and as I was, and they were doing a class, and as I came out of the church office, Pete Peters was trying to teach people how to do rabbit dance. Now, if you
don't know how to do rabbit dance, and some of you do, but
some of you don't. You know,
the line of men and the line of women, or in this case, boys and girls.
And the dance, the
lines go back and forth,
and back and forth,
and forth,
and back and
forth. And
after a while,
he chases her and she chases him. And
the kids really like the idea of chasing each other all the time. As I came out,
he was trying to get him under control. As I came out of the office, he was saying, no, discipline first. Because he just wanted to walk around.
He didn't want to.
Discipline first, then you get to play. Discipline first, then you can have fun. Discipline first, then you can have fun.
Welcome to Lent.
Discipline first. Then you can have fun.
2 weeks ago, yesterday, I was in El Dorado, Kansas.
Of all places. We had stopped there for the night. And the wind was blowing in El Dorado, Kansas. And after we got settled in the hotel room, and Elizabeth was fixing things up in the hotel room, I took the car to go fill it up at the gas station next door so it'd be ready for the next day's drive. So I drove over to the gas station and pulled up to the gas pump and watched the sun setting over the Walmart in El Dorado, Kansas. And then this guy came running out of the gas station with a real thick Asian Indian accent. And he was kind of talking. I couldn't understand what he was telling me. But finally, the car on the gas pump wasn't working after I got the gas to go in and pay him.
So I figured that out. Okay. So he
went back in the store. And I went ahead and filled up the gas. And I watched
a 12-year-old girl, I remember, pull up in a
bright yellow
Hummer.
Gas, not that I paid the guy who's. And they came out of the gas station.
Out of the gas station, left the car.
There was a guy with like
old coveralls and a. One
gray pony sitting on a box of oil there by the
door.
And as I walked by him, he said, "Keep on rolling, Grandpa." Got in the car and drove back to the hotel room. I told Elizabeth what happened. She wanted to drove over and beat him up, but I said, darling, Grandpa. God speaks a lot of words. Come rolling, Grandpa. See, the story begins today. Abraham is 99 years old. Almost as old as Grandma Hannah, his mother. 99 years old. And I'm aware, as I stand here, as I read this lesson this week, that I'm closer to Abraham's age than I was when I first came up to Alaska. I'm closer to Abraham's age than I was when I was a teenager. Abraham was 99 years old. I'm aware that I'm probably older than St. Paul. I'm aware I'm at least older than our Lord Christ was in this story. The beginning part of it. Abraham is 99 years old. And St. Paul says in that second reading, he was as good as dead. He was tired. He was 99 years old. You get to be 99 years old, you're allowed to be tired. You're allowed to just want to sit. Abraham is 99 years old. What memory does he have? And he thought everything was settled.
And his wife, Sarai, had been married forever.
God had already spoken to him and said, I have a promise.
So I'm going to make a covenant with you. You'll have many descendants.
He had a son already, Ishmael.
From his son. So he thought everything was settled. Why didn't he just kind of sit back
on the front porch in the rocking chair?
And then God
appears to him and says, keep on rolling.
Then God appears to him
and says, I'm God. Walk before me and be blameless. If you look at the story, the first thing Abraham does after God says, walk before me and be blameless, is Abraham falls over. Okay, Abraham, I want you to walk. Boom. He falls over. He's as good as dead, says St. Paul. And yet, keep on rolling, Grandpa. We are always setting limits on ourselves. We're always thinking that we're settled. We're always thinking we're too old, we're too young, we're too poor, we're too this, we're too that, can't do it anymore. No, you know, my life's been too soft, I can't do it. You know, we're always setting these limits on ourselves. And God is always sitting there in the corner going, keep on rolling. It's not over yet. And calls Abraham to go forward.
And gives him a new name.
No longer Abram, you're Abraham. Because he's always calling into a new beginning. Always and always and always. A new beginning. So what Lent asks us is, what limits are we setting on ourselves? Where are we saying in our lives, oh, I can't do this, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too this, I'm too that. We're always doing, like Peter, I'm not listening. And he's always over there in the corner saying, keep on rolling. There's a new adventure to come. There's always a new adventure to come. I've told the story before. I had an old friend once who used to tramp in the upper Yukon. And he ended up in intensive care here in Fairbanks when he was dying. And I saw him as he was just got the word. He knew he was dying. And he kind of looked at me like, what do I do? How do I deal with this? How do I do this? And I remembered mornings and nights watching him head out in the winter to his trampoline. And I said, look at it this way. You're heading into the last great storm. This is a cabin full of light and warmth, right on the other side of that storm. And he smiled and said, I can do that. He went into unconscious, and a couple of days later he died. But he died with a smile on his face. There's always another adventure. There's always another adventure. Keep on holding. But God says to Abram, walk before me and be blameless. That word blameless in Hebrew also means be whole, be together. Walk before me and you will be everything you can be. Walk before me and you will be who you really can be. Some of what Lent asks us then is, where are we setting the limits? So we're too afraid to get out on the dance floor. We're too afraid to dare take the risk. And Abram becomes important. Because even though he's 99 years old and Sarah is 90, he dares to hope and believe. The word blameless in there is also the word that is used in Hebrew for the animals that are sacrificed in the temple. Walk before me and be sacrificed. Walk before me, and you're going to have to give up what you think is important. What is he asking us to give up so that we can be who we are? Our Lord says, pick up your cross and follow me. The thing about crosses is you don't have any choice about it. The only choice you have, we have, is what do we think of? What do we do with it? Is this part of the adventure that God calls me to? Discipline first, says the Spirit through Pete Peter, talking to 7 6-year-olds. First, and then you can play. Spring is coming. Easter is coming. Resurrection is coming. At the end of the story of Abram, verse 17, the verse that's not there, Abram falls over again, laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And just the sheer joy and impossibility of it. Keep on rolling, Grandpa, says God, sitting on the corner of a gas station in Northern Kansas. Keep on rolling, says God to Ethan. This spring, so there's a dance coming.